Sunrise with Shona on Hot 102.7.
Good morning, beautiful people of God. I wonder how you are. I hope that you are warm and well and dry. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona on the mighty Hot 102.7, and it is so good to be with you this morning. Can you believe that it's 2 weeks to Easter? I actually don't know where this year has gone. It's going so fast. And in between now and Easter, I have my child's wedding. So we are really racing around. Now, I think the best way to describe a spiritual journey that we're on is that it is a journey of letting go, of shedding, a shift of mindset as we transform more and more into the image and likeness of Christ. And it's amplified for me in a prayer that begins this way. Holy God, Lord of life, you redefine our living and our dying. Lord of life, God is the Lord of life. Not just of death, but God is the Lord of life. And when we are in God and God in us, life and death are redefined for us. And I think it's something that we really need to wrestle with and think about. And it comes more naturally and more to the fore when we are dealing with people who are terminally ill. But it's something that all of us have to wrestle with, that life and death are redefined for us in God because, in fact, we don't die. We live in God. Now, if we look at Isaiah, he experienced some of that, I think, when we read Isaiah 43, verse 16 to 21. And this is what he says. This is what the Lord said. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Now obviously here God through Isaiah is referring to the Egyptian army that was pursuing the Israelites as God led them out of Egypt, and we know that he parted the Red Sea, that the Israelites passed through safely on either side, and that then the waters came and killed all the chariots and the horses and the army. But what I like here is that it's emphasizing that God is the Lord of life. It emphasizes for me the power of God over all things. Isaiah goes on and says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Here again is a really important message for us, especially in Lent, as we're preparing ourselves to receive Christ anew on Easter Sunday. So it's even for you and I today, it was important for them to forget all of that, to look forward. But it's also important for us. Don't dwell on the past. The past is gone. Let it go. None of us can go back and change it. We have to learn from the past, let it go, or it will destroy our joy today, and it will destroy our joy in the future. So we have today, we have the future, we need to let go, shed everything of the past. And that's why I think this is an important message for Lent, because Lent for me is about recognizing things I've done wrong, confessing them, letting them go, recognizing we haven't been fully God present to someone, confessing it, letting it go. It's also letting go any hurts that I might be carrying, that are preventing me from experiencing God in all God's fullness today. Then God through Isaiah carries on. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? And my experience of God is that God is always up to something new. There's always something new happening with God. And we have to have the eyes open to see the new thing and the heart open to receive it. So when we are open to receive it, when our eyes are tuned into the eyes of God, then we see the new things that God is doing. And it goes on, I'm making a way in the wilderness, streams in the wasteland, the wild animals honor me, the jackals and owls, because I provide water in the wilderness, streams in the wasteland, to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. So this prophecy is filled with God, the life that God gives us. It's filled with the promises of God's provision and care and God's power. Now I think for many of us today, we have to hear this reading. When there seems to be no way forward, remember God will make a way. He parted the Red Sea. The Israelites thought they were cornered. He parted the Red Sea and let them through safely and prevented them from being followed by the Egyptians. God does make a way. When we feel like it's an end, maybe it's a new beginning because God will do something new and provide for us as we need. We have to trust in God and walk in the way of God. When we do that, I think we're going to be amazed by what God does, and we will praise God. I was sitting with a friend that I hadn't seen for a while the other day, and she had journeyed with me a few years ago over a very difficult part of my life. And I said to her, you know, I had absolutely no idea how I was going to move forward. And then look now what God has done. And I said, we have to learn to trust God and walk in faith. And for me, it's much easier now because I've seen how God provides, how God opens a new way. And I think it's a lesson we all need to learn, a lesson of blind trust in God, because God does love us. God has this. God is always up to something new, and God will open up a new way for us. And I think that all of us need to be reminded of that at this time. I pray that God will make a way to bless you too. Coming up now on the Mighty Hot 1027, Shine, Jesus, Shine.
Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 1027.
Shine, Jesus, Shine on the Mighty Hot 1027. Good morning. This is Reverend Shona from St. Mark's Anglican Church, and it is so good to be with you this morning. If you've just joined me, welcome. Today I've looked at a beautiful passage of scripture from Isaiah 43, showing us God's power at work, reminding us of how God led the Israelites out of slavery, how God opened up the passage for them through the Red Sea and prevented the Egyptian army from following them. It's a passage about God's provision and blessing and how we need to let the past go and just embrace the new thing that God is doing today. And that is what God does. God does new things all the time. I'm going to move now into Psalm 126 because the psalm for me emphasizes Isaiah's prophecy. It's a psalm for me about transformation, about changing mindset, and how God is still God and Lord of life. Now listen to the words, and I think you're going to hear the psalmist saying something similar. Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamt. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Now let's just pause and reflect. Maybe you can reflect back on a dark time in your life and give thanks that you've had your fortunes restored, that you're again filled with laughter, tongues with songs of joy, and that it can be said God has done a great thing for you. Maybe you're in that place and you're just in awe of what God has done. I know I'm in that place where I'm just in awe of God and what God has done. Maybe you're still in a hard time or a dark space or a challenging time. I'm going to say to you today, hold on. God is always up to something. As we heard from Isaiah, God is always up to something new. And you just have to hold on and trust and then do what God does. Because when the opportunity arises, we can't sit back and say, well, God must do it. God will bring opportunities to us and we then need to rise up and take hold of those opportunities. And the psalm goes on, restore our fortunes, Lord, like the streams in Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who will go out weeping, carrying seeds to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. So again, emphasizing God's provision. And here we see that transformation, that mindset change. You may be in tears today, but you will reap with songs of joy. Just keep going. God is a God of transformation, both of ourselves, of our lives, and actually also of our circumstances. Then we move into Paul's letter to the church in Philippi. So we've got this wonderful promise from the psalm. Then we move into this letter that Paul writes to the church in Philippi, chapter 3, and he writes, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by God's Spirit, who boast in Jesus Christ, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. Now, do you see why I say these readings are about redefining our understanding of life and death? Paul says he puts no confidence in the flesh, in other words, in this body. Death for Paul has lost its sting. Those are my words. Paul puts no confidence in this body, but he knows that he's serving God by God's Spirit dwelling in this body. And he goes on to say, someone else thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh. I have more. I was circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, I was a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness, based on law and faultless. So he was a pillar of strength in the society. Everyone looked up to him. He was a Pharisee. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He had been circumcised as he should have been on the eighth day. We also know that he was a Roman citizen by birth. So here Paul is giving us his pedigree, and we may see it as boastful. But in fact, what he's explaining is, I have the authority to speak, and yet here I am saying something quite different. I have everything I need to excel in this society, to be respected in this society, and I'm giving it all up for Jesus. And we know that his whole life changed, and he no longer put his faith in human beings, but in God. And he goes on to say, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider lost for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that may I gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which in through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. So he's saying, even though I kept all the laws, I knew them all, I kept them all, I was righteous because I kept the laws, none of that matters anymore because my righteousness comes from God through faith in Christ. And he goes on to say, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. And he goes on to say, redefining the way he views death, not that I have already obtained this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. So again, forget the past that we were told by Isaiah, straining towards what is ahead, this new thing God is doing. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Another message for me of letting go of the past, of recognizing that while we are in the flesh, we actually still belong to God. And we're in this flesh filled with God's Spirit doing what God is asking us to do. But our true home is with God. And it's a call to just keep persevering in faith because of Jesus. And we know because of the work Jesus did on the cross. As you reflect on that, coming up now on the Mighty Heart 1027, You Raise Me Up.
Sunrise with Shona
on Heart 1027.
You Raise Me Up on the Mighty Heart 1027. Good morning. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona, and it's great to be with you. We've looked at Isaiah chapter 43. We've looked at how in Isaiah we're told to leave everything in the past because God is always doing something new. So we must let go of the past and move forward with God. And I said, if we don't let go of the past, we miss out on the joy of today and all the tomorrows, the joy of all the tomorrows. Isaiah also spoke about how amazing God is and the power of God and how God protected the Israelites in the desert, opened up the Red Sea, protected them from the pursuing Egyptian army. And it looks at the power of God at work. We've looked at Psalm 126. Again, a psalm of how even if we're in tears today, we will eventually reap with joy. So there's that change in mindset of looking at things of today and seeing God's hand at work in all things and trusting in God, even if things look a bit bleak today. And then Philippians 3, where Paul is saying also, leave the past behind, strain towards the future, move in God, serve God, do what God is calling you to do. But remember that while we live in the flesh here, we actually belong to God. And so God is our eternal home. They're all messages of hope and blessing, and how we call to trust and have faith in God, and those blessings come as we serve God. There are also messages of transformation in how our understanding of life and death is redefined, is changed. I'm going to move now into the Gospel, John chapter 12, Jesus anointed at Bethany. 6 days before the Passover, we told Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived. That was the person Jesus had raised from the dead. Here dinner was given in Jesus' honor, Martha served, Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it all on Jesus' feet, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with this beautiful fragrance of the perfume. One of the disciples, and it would be, it's Judas of Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected and said, "Why hasn't this perfume been sold and the money given to the poor? It's worth a year's wages." So now we know how expensive that perfume was. Judas did this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and as the keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. So we know right from the start, Judas was stealing the money. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial." And obviously when people die, you do anoint them. And he said, "You will always have the poor among you," says Jesus, "but you will not always have me." Interesting passage to end with today. Now, I'm sure you're all familiar with the story in the Gospel according to Luke, where Mary sits at the feet of Jesus listening while Martha is doing all these different tasks, and she gets so irritated with Mary and says, "Teacher, can you not see that I'm doing all the work and Mary's just sitting here?" And he says, "Mary's chosen the better thing." And I often have to wonder and be careful that I don't become Martha, because I also like to race around and do everything that needs to be done. And there are times when you just need to sit at Jesus' feet, no matter what has to be done, and listen to God, be in the presence of God. In today's reading, of course, we're reading about her anointing Jesus with this perfume, pouring this nard, this perfume over his feet. But maybe it's not just about that. Maybe it's the fragrances of life and the impending death of Jesus that this costly pound of perfume and pure nard is used. So it's more about what's coming for Jesus and the fact that before he dies, he gets anointed with this perfume. And I feel that we need to look a little more deeply at this reading, because what we're actually seeing is not just perfume. For me, she's pouring out her whole life before Jesus, and that's where the healing comes from. She's actually pouring everything she has onto Jesus and allowing Jesus to be Lord of it, if you like. Mary holds absolutely nothing back. She gives it all. So what we find is that Mary is the one who's been loving and doing the right thing. Judas is calculating, and perhaps Martha is still running around doing too much instead of concentrating on being in the presence of Jesus at that time. Mary, for me, is the picture, if you like, of being an extravagant, but a completely extravagant love. Someone once said to me, it's a wastefulness. It's not wastefulness. She's showing God how much she loves God and how much she loves Jesus. And so she gives it all. So we see this extravagance in her. And as we progress through Lent, would we be willing to do the same? I think is a question we need to ask ourselves. I feel what John is doing is asking us to ask that question. Are we willing to give everything? Mary's love foreshadows Jesus' prophecy. Prophecies of love. That's what we see. And Jesus eventually ultimately dies for you and I. So she pours everything out on Jesus, but Jesus eventually gives up absolutely everything, including his life. She anoints the feet of Jesus, the one who's going to wash the feet of his disciples. She pours out that perfume, as I said, pouring herself out. And Jesus is then going to pour himself out for the world, giving up his life. Jesus' love costs him everything he has, and he holds nothing in reserve. That's how much Jesus loves you and I. So when Judas asks, why wasn't this perfume sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor? That's a good question. You could say it's a moral and ethical question, but he's coming from the wrong motive. Had he been coming from a good motive, maybe Jesus would have answered differently. But his motive was that he wanted that money in the coffers so that he could help himself. And the answer for me is, when we look at Judas's question, you know, why wasn't the perfume sold, the money given to the poor? The answer for me is, because there is no price on God's love. God gives everything for you and I. We cannot put a price on the love of God and our response. Now again, are we prepared to love God in that way? Do we pour out our whole selves to God, allowing God to be Lord and Master of our lives, directing our lives? Are we walking in that faith that we heard about from Isaiah, where God can do a new thing because we leave everything in the past? Where we heard about from Paul, where he gave up all this position of privilege and pleasure to serve God? Are we loving God in the way in which Mary did, by pouring out a year's wages on Jesus' feet? Perhaps that's a question for us today. And I want to repeat the prayer from the beginning. Holy God, Lord of life, you redefine our living and our dying. I think God is constantly redefining the way in which we interpret life and death as we live in God. And the more we pour ourselves out to God, the more we are transformed more and more into the image of God. And so I would pray, please God, transform us, redefine our living and dying, so we may bring glory to your name, God, and be prepared to pour ourselves out as you did for us. Thank you so much for listening today. To wrap up this morning in moments like these and glorify thy name on the Mighty Hot 1027, I hope that you have a wonderful week. May God bless you and your families.
Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 1027.